Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we've heard your word, and we pray that in the silence and the secrets of our hearts, it may blossom into truth, it may blossom into a new way of life, guiding us, moving us forward as the disciples you would have us be. As we pray in Christ's name, amen. When Muhammad Ali was in his prime, he would often boast that he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Now, he bragged that way as a way of psyching out his opponents. But he was human. And it seems that on one particular airplane flight, and he tells this story in his book, The Soul of a Butterfly, the flight attendant asked him to put his seatbelt on. And Ali said to her, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She smiled at him and said, "Superman don't need no plane either." If you've known Muhammad Ali, you know that humility was not one of his greater strengths, at least back in the days when he was fighting. And I share that story because it points out that often we have a tendency, most people I would say, have a tendency to think a little better of themselves. And as Lent begins tonight, it begins with a reminder that we really aren't as good or great as we sometimes think we are. Tonight begins a season of introspection, a time when we hopefully will spend some extra time with the scriptures, with prayers, a time that reminds us that the true posture of Lent is humility. Now, often we think of humility as self-deprecation, putting ourselves down, of squashing our needs and desires, as it were. We talk of giving up those things that we love during the season of Lent. Chocolate. And you fill in the rest, whatever it is for you. We say during the season of Lent, we don't deserve them. We think of Lent as a time to contemplate our ash-like existence in the face of God's glory and power. Oh God, before you I am nothing. Feeling. And to a degree, that is true. But that's only half the story. And as Paul Harvey used to say, and now for the rest of the story. Lent is also a time to gain self-confidence in our lives. Jesus, in our Matthew passage, argues against this public display of piety. Not only because it's hypocritical, but also because it shows a lack of self-confidence. Lack of self-confidence that can be destructive, not only for the self, but also in an extreme form for others. We all have known people who seem to only be able to build themselves up by tearing other people down, because they lack self-confidence. Often, when I watch football, and it happens in other sports, but when I watch football, And some player will make a great play. And they go, oh yeah, they're doing all of this stuff and they're taunting the other team and jumping in their faces. To me, that's lacking self-confidence. I love it when a football player makes a great play, turns around, and goes back to the huddle. As if to say, hey, that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You don't need to show or let everybody know. Just have confidence in yourself. Christ speaks of a quiet self-confidence that knows that one is loved, that knows that one is accepted by God in spite of their sin. It's believing that we can always be better, and therefore we need to pray, we need to read Scripture, we need to spend time with God, all so that we may go through a process of rebirth and transformation, which is what this season of Lent seeks to cause in us. Transformation. But all the while that we do that, we can do it knowing that the God who sees in secret knows us, loves us, and trusts us. In the writings of the Desert Fathers and Mothers that were written during the 3rd and 4th centuries, there's a wonderful story about Abba Moses. Abba Moses hesitated to accept the summons to be a part of a council that would pass judgment on a brother who had committed a sin. And a delegation approached him, insisting that all the others were waiting for him. And reluctantly, he got up and went with them. And he took a jug of water that leaked all the while that he was walking. The council, when he got there, came out to greet him, and they saw this water jug leaking, and they were puzzled about it, and they asked for an explanation. Abba Moses said, "My sins pour out behind me, and I have the audacity to come here today and judge someone else's errors?" Hearing this, they forgave the sinful brother and sent him on his way. Now, in our Corinthians passage, Paul is responding to a charge that his ministry wasn't authentic. That basically he was being charged that he was a false prophet. He was lacking. And in the face of these bold accusations against him, he shares the confession of his own experience as an expression of his understanding of authentic servanthood. He talks of the hardships that he's gone through in the journey of his faith. He talks about how he sees God's power evidenced in the framework of his own life. He doesn't care how others view his ministry. He doesn't care what they think about him. What matters to him, the heart of the matter to him, was that he not put obstacles in the way of any other people or of himself. A quiet humility who knows they're loved by God despite their sin. I think Paul would certainly recognize the words of 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Paul knows himself as dust or ash before God. But to speak of ourselves does not mean that we must lower ourselves in the eyes of God or of anyone else. And tonight, as we celebrate the service of ashes, it's a celebration in many ways, because It reminds us of the fact that while we are dust, we are touched with God's healing oil of grace. And that's why the oil was mixed with the ash. As the ashes represent the heart, the minerals of what was once palm branches, may they also remind us that God loves us. God desires that we be whole. That we have a quiet self-confidence. We're challenged not to live our lives with a loud, false, hypocritical piety. That's why I put the ashes on the hands and not the forehead. Who sees it up here? Who sees it on the hand? May God bless us with strength, with faith, with transformation and self-confidence in our Lenten journey. May we be reminded that, yeah, we need the seatbelt on that plane. That plane that takes us through Lent. And not only do we need it, God wants us to wear it.